right, Brother Brandon Stalling. He currently is a minister of the Midtown Church of Christ in Victoria, Texas. At this time, we're going to bring him on. He's going to teach us from John chapter 8. This is one scripture, the truth shall make you free. I'm ready to hear this, Brandon. Go ahead.
It is always a blessing to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that as we deal with this lesson, that you have an open Bible so that you can hear what thus saith the Lord. I want you to hear what the Lord is saying through the scripture so that you can know that it is not me speaking to you, but it is the Lord God of heaven and earth speaking to you through his word. We're going to start this lesson in the gospel according to John, chapter 8 and the verses 31. The gospel according to John, chapter 8 and the verse is 31. The Bible says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, there were those Jews who began the process of believing in him. Some of them would shrink back and not wholeheartedly give themselves to him. But for those who truly wanted to follow Jesus then and now, Lord says in verse 32, and you shall know, you shall comprehend the truth, absolute facts, 100% facts that cannot be disputed and cannot change. You shall comprehend those truths, the 100% facts, and the truth shall make you free. It shall set you free. Set us free from what? The consequences of sin. Sin has consequences, and only the truth can make one free from the consequences of sin. In John 17:17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the truth of the scripture can not only set one free, but will set one apart from the sinful world in order to serve God. My friend, I want to let you know tonight that the truth provides for us the solution to the sin problem. That's what the truth does. It gives us the solution to the sin problem. And I want us to turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And understand what's going on in the book of Romans. In chapter 1, Paul was dealing with those who were not known as Hebrew Israelites or Jews, and they were identified as sinners. And then in chapter 2 of Romans, he deals with those who were Hebrew Israelites or Jews, and they were identified as sinners who also broke God's law. And then in chapter 3, he lets us know in verse 9, what then, Romans 3:9, what then, are we better than they? No, not at all, for we have previously charged both Jews and Gentiles or Greeks that they are underlined all under sin. In other words, all of mankind, all of those at the age of accountability are declared by God to be sinners. They are all under sin, ruled by sin, governed by sin, chained by sin. The Bible says in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no. Notice the language, none, indefinite pronoun, there is none righteous, anyone outside of Christ who has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, none righteous. There is none right with God. Verse 11, there is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. This is a horrible condition. None righteous, none who can comprehend the ways of God, none seeking after God. It's Jesus that came to seek and save the lost. And verse 12 says, they have all turned aside. That's including you, my friend, that none are righteous, none fully comprehend God, and all have turned aside and do whatever he or she desires, following after their fleshly desires, living a lifestyle of sin. In verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Notice, all have sinned. What is sin? What is sin? According to 1 John chapter 3 and the verses 4, 1 John 3, 4, now from the King James Version, whosoever committed sin transgresses all the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, so sin is the transgression of God's law. For us, that's the New Testament. When God declares the law, he says, don't curse, but you curse. You utter filthy words, filthy communication out of your mouth. God says, don't lie, but then you lie and you cheat and you steal and all those things, or you commit fornication, sex outside of marriage, or you commit adultery, you cheated on yourself, so on and so on. Well, the person that sins, sin is the transgression, the going beyond God's law. And so everyone at the age of accountability has gone beyond what God has declared to be sin, has gone beyond God's law. You see a fence that says no trespassing. Well, if you climb over that fence, you have went beyond the boundaries that was set. Therefore, you have transgressed. You have went beyond. So one who is a sinner has went beyond God's law. And my friend, all have sinned. Now, I want to let you know the seriousness of sin. Come with me to Isaiah 59. Let's talk about the seriousness or the depth of this problem, this sin problem. In Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Notice, they want to know, and the world wants to know, why is God not answering our prayer? Well, he tells us in verse 2, your iniquities. Iniquities is continually breaking God's law, living a lifestyle of sin, lawlessness, living as if God has no law. A lawless individual, some scriptures would say a worker of iniquity, a person who labors in breaking God's law. God says your sinning, your lifestyle of breaking his law have separated you from him. There's a separation. And your sins, he had to turn away. Your sins have hidden his face from you. Notice, he refuses to not hear. Therefore, that eliminates a sinner's prayer because the sinner is separated from God. Come with me to Ezekiel chapter 18 and the verses 4. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verses 4. Ezekiel 18, 4. Watch what the Bible says. Behold, all souls are mine. You belong to God, your soul. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. Underline this, the soul who sins shall die. Now, know this, that the words die, death, and dead are all related to one another. and they mean a separation. God is painting a picture. You know, when a person dies physically, they leave their soul, leaves their body. But this is something more sinister. This is something more deep, because everybody dies, but it's about where you go when you die. Now the Lord paints a picture of a person that is walking dead. The soul who sins shall die, shall be separated from God, shall be walking dead. A person that is living a life separated from God, on their way to devil's hell. My friend, that is a big problem. To be living life and separated from God, and he will not hear your prayer, and he considers you dead to him. Flip back to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3 in the verses 18. Ezekiel chapter 3 in the verses 18. I want to let you see the depth of the problem. Ezekiel chapter 3 in verses 18. When I speak to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. That same, underline this, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Notice this. The worst thing that can happen to a person is for a person to live a life separated from God. He never hears your prayer. You're walking dead. And then when you die physically, you are eternally separated from God. He shall die in his iniquity. To die as a sinner, die as a worker of iniquity, means you have to go to a very painful place. You have to go to a very fiery place. In verse 19, watch what he says. Yet if you warn the wicked, he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall, notice this, die in his iniquity. And see, that's what God is talking about. You don't want to die in your iniquity, in your lawless life. You don't want to die as a sinner. Come with me here to John, the gospel according to John, chapter 8. The gospel according to John, chapter 8, in the verses 21. I want you to notice what Jesus said in John, chapter 8, in the verse 20, is 21. We're talking about the depth of sin, how much of a problem it is, how horrible it is. In John, chapter 8, verse 21, then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me. Look, they're disputing Jesus, they're arguing with him, they're refusing to submit themselves to him. So he says, I'm going away. He's going to die, and he's going to rise from the dead. He's going to go back to heaven. He says, you will seek me and will die in your sin. Now, what's the most horrible thing about dying in your sin? This is it. Where I go, where is Jesus going? He's going to heaven. And if you die in your sin, he says, where I go, you cannot come. You can't go to heaven. You can't walk the streets of gold. You can't be with him for all eternity. You can't walk through the pearly gates. Why? Because you have died in your sin. You died as a worker of iniquity. You died living a lawless life. You died continually breaking God's law, and you broke it to the very end. So Jesus says, if you die in your sin, where I go, you cannot come. And remember, my friend, that all have sinned. And we're trying to get the truth to you and let you know that sin is a problem, but the truth shall make you free from the consequences of sin. In Luke chapter 24, the beauty of God gives us the solution to the sin problem. The love of God, the mercy of God. Come with me to Luke 24, verses 46. Luke 24, and the verse is 46. Now, Jesus has already died on the cross. He is now appearing to his followers for over a period of 40 days. And Luke 24, verse 46, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So notice what he says. Jesus talking to his followers, notice what he says. It was necessary. Jesus said, I had to let them arrest me. I had to let them beat me. I had to let them scourge me. I had to let them put a crown of thorns on my head. I had to let them mock me and laugh at me. I had to let them strap me to the cross beam. I had to let them put a nail in my right hand. I had to let them put a nail in my left hand. I had to let them cross my feet. And I had to let them put nails through both of my feet. Christ said it was necessary for the Christ to suffer. Christ said, I suffered for you. I bled for you. And he died on that cross for you and for me. And to rise from the dead, couldn't keep him in the grave. He got up 3 days later. He wanted us to understand the purpose of his suffering and the purpose of his resurrection in verse 47. And that repentance means have a change of mind and turn from the lifestyle that you have been living. Upon hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, upon hearing of the depth of the sin problem and how serious this is and how you die in your sins and end up in a very horrible, fiery, painful place, you should want to have a change of mind and turn from the lifestyle you have been living. If you're willing to turn, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached because of his death, burial, and resurrection, repentance, having a change of mind, and this is our key, remission of sins can be preached. Meaning, if you're willing to repent, you can have remission of sins. Now, let's go to the gospel. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 36. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start our reading at verse 36. We're talking about how the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit falls upon the apostles. Then the Holy Spirit zoomed in on the preaching of Peter. He preaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts 2:36, the Bible says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, notice this, men and brethren, what shall we do? This is what we call, my friend, the first case of conversions. Whatever Peter says to them, the whole world has to do. And your freedom from sin is in what Peter is about to say in Acts 2:38. In verse 38, upon them saying, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent, have that change of mind, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice what Peter says, the very thing Jesus said would be preached. You have to repent. You have to have that change of mind, and you have to turn from a sinful lifestyle. You have to turn from breaking God's law. Remember, it leads to separation from God, eternal separation from God, and you will die as a sinner. So you need to turn, Peter said, turn from that sinful lifestyle. Every one of you be baptized, be fully immersed under the water, in the name of Jesus Christ, meaning it's by his authority. He's the one that set it in order. And the baptism, notice this, is for the remission, the removal of your sin. If you want to be free from sin, you have to obey this truth. What's the truth? Jesus died for your sins, and you have to repent confess him to be Christ, the Son of God, confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is eternal life. Now, notice verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. The promise of what? The promise of remission of sins. It's not just about you. You can free your children through the gospel. You can free your mom and your grandmother, your spouse, by exposing them to the gospel and you being the first one maybe to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you care about your children? Do you care about what happens to them? Well, the gospel is not a selfish thing. It's about you saving yourself and helping save others, but God doesn't force it, because in verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. King James Version says, save yourself. And don't nobody else follow. Save yourself. Be saved from this perverse generation, from this evil generation, from those who will continually break God's law, who will remain separated from God and who will die in their sins. You got to save yourself. Don't let anybody stop you. Don't let anybody persuade you that you should not obey God. Don't follow your sinful desires. Follow what thus said the Lord. Obey the truth. Obey the gospel. Save yourself. Get out of the burning building. Save yourself. Run out of there. Get out of there. Get out of a sinful lifestyle. Save yourself from this evil and wicked generation. And notice this in verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Notice those individuals who heard Peter preaching, they heard the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They heard that they have had to repent and be baptized in water for the remission of the sin of their sins. They were told to save themselves. And my friend, they obeyed the gospel right then. I submit to you that the truth made them free. They are free. They are free from sin. The shackles of sin are no longer on these 3,000 souls who were baptized for the remission of their sins. They are free from sin. They are free from the consequences of sin. And now they just need to remain faithful. Now they just need to continue on and be a faithful member of the body of Christ. Question. Do you want to be free? Do you want to be free from sin? Look at verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being, underlined, saved. See, when you are saved, when your sins are removed, the Lord will add you to his church. Identified in the Bible as the church of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. The word "my" is a possessive pronoun showing ownership, making this church in Acts 2:47 the church of Christ. When they were set free from sin, the Lord added them to the church of Christ. One last plea, my friend, in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, you know, God is a God that will not force you to obey the truth. He will not force you to be baptized for the remission of your sins. He will not force you to be set free from sin. But we have a great example of a man that heard that same gospel that you just heard, that heard about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, heard about how Jesus suffered and how he was humiliated for him. In chapter 8, verse 35, Acts 8:35. Then Philip opened his mouth, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him, told him what he did. In verse 36, now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to burn. I don't want to be separated from God. What hinders me from being baptized? There goes some water right there, he says. I want to be saved. Verse 37, then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He answered and said, he made that great confession that everybody has to do before being set free. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, both Philip and the eunuch, and he went down into the water and he baptized him. The eunuch was set free because he obeyed the truth. And in verse 39, watch this. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. The preacher is out of the way because it was never about the preacher. It was about the message. It was about the truth. And the eunuch has obeyed the truth. The truth has made him free. The truth has set him apart from the sinful world to serve God. And it says that he went on his way rejoicing. And whoever is on this phone line tonight, you can obey the gospel tonight. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till the next day. You might die in your sleep. A bullet might come through your window. We don't know. You might go out and somebody hit you and you die in the car wreck. But you can obey the gospel tonight. He went on his way rejoicing. And my friend, tonight you can obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and go on your way rejoicing. And why was he rejoicing? Because the truth, the absolute facts of the gospel, the truth has made him free. See, you just heard the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And if you have to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And my friend, you have to repent. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you now, unless you repent, you shall. Look, unless you repent, you have to have a change of mind. Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Are you ready to change? Tonight is the. And if you're willing to change, you must confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, Romans 10:9-10. And once again, you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And once you're baptized, you will be set free from sin and the consequences of it. You will be added to the church of Christ, Acts 2:47. And then you must be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. The truth shall make you free. And tonight, you can be set free if you will obey the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.